Listen your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as I mentioned earlier, that this afternoon, we will begin a new study of a New Testament book, the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Christians in Corinth. The writer of this letter is none other than the Apostle Paul, and we can be assured of that, as Paul himself claims to be the writer in verse 1. And this is a very personal letter of Paul to the Christians in Corinth. And this is the second letter, as we can see from the title. This letter, no doubt, is a follow-up letter after 1 Corinthians, which dates about AD 56. The first letter, as you may know, was written by the Apostle Paul as he deals with the many problems in the church in Corinth, of the many division and schism, and also there are those who undermine the gospel and to challenge the authority of Paul the Apostle. And as for this second letter, the main theme concerned the nature of the new covenant ministry, which is by the power of the Spirit of God, with present suffering and for future glory. Paul's purpose in writing this second epistle is in defense of his apostolic ministry and in defense of the gospel message, which came under attack by some in the Corinthian church. Paul shows that suffering is a vital component or vital part of advancing the glory of God. This second letter is to encourage the Christians, is to encourage those of us who are in Christ, both the gospel ministers and all Christians, to have a biblical perspective in the midst of the difficulties or suffering and difficulties of criticism, inadequacy, and insufficiency. It is to comfort us. It is to direct us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Christian believers, we may rejoice because our sufficiency is of God in all areas of our life. Our meditation this afternoon is on the subject, God, our Deliverer. The text is taken from chapter 1, verse 10. I read, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Notice the three tenses: past tense, present tense, future tense. Who delivered us, and doth or does deliver us, and that he will yet deliver us. Our text brings out very vividly three stages of the Christian life. It reminds us that God has delivered, does deliver, and he will yet deliver. I advocate, therefore, we consider the past, the present, and the future in connection with the delivering mercy of God. He has delivered us, he does deliver us, he will deliver us. And first, I'm going to point out three trains of thought And then after that, secondly, we want to look at three lines of argument supplied by the text. Firstly, the verse suggests three train of thoughts. The first is this, memory. Memory which tells us of the deliverances in the past, who delivered us from so great a death. Take the word exactly as Paul wrote it, or wrote them, and recall, let us all, Christians, believers, who are in the Lord, recall how God has delivered us, or some of us, not only from spiritual death, and even physical death. There may be some among us that have been very near to death, for example, in an accident or in a natural calamity. Many others have been very near to death in sickness. And we have realized the possibility or even the probability of our soon passing away from all the engagements of human life and standing before our God. However, we have been raised again. In the mercy of the Lord, we have come forth from our sick bed. We have come forth from tottering on our walking stick, perhaps through weakness, yet we are still preserved, the living, to praise the living Lord Jesus as we do this day. I have no doubt that almost all of you have had at one time or another some very special proof that unto God the Lord belong the issues from death, says the psalmist in Psalm 68 verse 20. This may be, or should I say, has been the experience of some of many of you Christian believers. Our past deliverances, however, have not only been from physical death. We have had greater deliverances than that. There was, first of all, if you recall, our deliverance from spiritual death, deliverance from eternal damnation. Do you not remember, brethren, the time when you were brought out of nature's darkness into God's marvelous light of His eternal kingdom? You were brought from darkness, out of darkness, into the light of the gospel. If you are a born-again Christian, you can say with that blind man in John chapter 9, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Some of us do remember the very day when we came to the Lord Jesus, when we came to Christ and rested in Him. And we do, with our whole heart and soul, and bless Him that we were delivered from that terrible spiritual death, spiritual damnation, which has so long held us in bondage. God rescued us by His grace and enabled us to come forth from our grave of sin, looking unto Jesus and longing to be made like Him, to be Christ-like. Let those of us who are in union with Christ through the seal of the Holy Spirit be very thankful, be very grateful, and bless the Lord Jesus for His mercy in delivering us from so great a death. The remembrance, brethren, the remembrance of our deliverance from sin and despair must take the first rank amongst our grateful reminiscences. But since then, have you not been many times delivered out of temptation? You said with the psalmist, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, Psalm 73 verse 2. And yet, the Lord graciously preserved you. If you look back with careful eye, you will see many other occasions where if it had not been for the Lord's intervening mercy, you would either have fallen into the miry pit on your right hand or into the quicksand on your left. Do you not wonder, brethren, sometimes how you ever got through that peculiar temptation which was so suitable to your circumstances and so pleasurable, attractive to your flesh? Yet you did not know at the time that it was a temptation and you had not the wisdom necessary to meet the craft of Satan. Yet you were not taken captive in the satanic net, subtly as it was spread for you. And for that deliverance, you must bless the name of the Lord. There are some of you who ought to praise the Lord Jesus for deliverances over which you shed painful tears at that time. He would not let you have, the Lord Jesus would not have you let you have what you desire. You were disappointed and even angry with God for not granting you what you prayed for. Ah, brethren, notice the Lord's dealing with you. The Lord's dealing with you saved you from having a broken heart. It was well that you did not have it. It was good that you did not have it. It was good that God did not grant to you what you prayed for. For that which you thought was a bracelet sparkling with jewels was a serpent, which, had you grasped it, would have stung you to death. Blessed be God for not hearing some of our prayers. Blessed be the Lord Jesus for not gratifying many of our desires. There are many more praises to God for his past deliverances, deliverance from troubles, deliverance from danger, but I have to go on, and I want to move on to the second train of thought. And that second train of thought calls our attention to present deliverance. And doth deliver, or does deliver. Open your eyes, brethren, and see how God is delivering you even at this moment. If you take some time to reflect, you will perceive your deliverances. For many times, you have been saved from trouble, while on other occasions, you have been delivered out of it without even you knowing it. Oftentimes, we do not see the very thing that has the most of mercy in it. What evidences of divine deliverance there are in the fact that you are here this afternoon, at this moment, alive and well. A comparatively trifling incident might have resulted in your death. You may, tomorrow, in doubt as to which of two ways you should take. But there will be the providence of God directing you which to choose. And your choice of that one may affect the whole of the rest of your life. We do not know where or what we might have been if God's gracious protection had not been like a wall of fire round about us, as it is even now. For still the Lord deliver all those who put their trust in him. I want you, dear brethren, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to believe with unquestioning confidence that God, your Savior, the Lord Jesus, is delivering you just now. You know that he has delivered you in the past, that is. Be quite assured that he is delivering you at this moment. The third frame of thought is this. Expectation. Expectation looks out upon the future. In whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Yes, dear friends, there may be many trials and affliction of life before you yet, but there is a mass of mercy kept in store to meet those trials. Troubles such as you have never yet known, as well as repetitions of those afflictions you have experienced, will surely come upon you according to the wisdom of God. However, the promise to you, the promise of God to you is this: as your days are, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy 33:25. As your days are, so shall your strength be. For your Lord God will continue to deliver you. As the eyes gradually fail, and the limbs grow weak, and the infirmities of age creep over us, we are apt to be distressed. Yet, our Lord Jesus will not forsake us. When severe sickness invades our bodily frame, and our pains are multiplied and intensified, brethren, you who are bought by the blood of Christ, be of good comfort. If you are truly a child of God, born of His Spirit, He who had delivered and doth deliver will yet deliver you. As surely as the trial comes, the way of escape shall be opened up for you by your Lord Jesus. He have delivered you, then give Him your gratitude. He is delivering you, then give Him your confidence. He will deliver you, then give Him a full and joyful expectation, and begin even now to praise Him, to thank Him for mercies which are yet to come, and for grace which you have not tasted yet, but which you shall taste in His good, perfect time. I come now to the second head, which is: the verse supplies us with three arguments. All these three arguments running to the same point. The verse supplies three lines of argument. The point to be proved is that the Lord Jesus will deliver His people. And I argue that He will deliver us in the future. Why? Simply because He has already begun to deliver us. There is a chain of continuity here. He had delivered, He doth deliver, and He will deliver. He began to work for our deliverance long before we sought after God. The first movement was not from us to God, but from God to us. We were lying dead in trespasses and sins, and He came and made us alive, or quickened us by His Spirit. He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us many centuries before we were born. He provided the gospel for us long before you and I had ever sinned. In all things, He had the start and was beforehand with us. Yet He need not have done all this, except that it was by His own choice and free will that He acted. I do rejoice in the free will of God which moved Him to deliver us. The next argument comes from the fact that as He is now delivering us, therefore He will continue to do so. Here is the continuity of God's grace. Now look, brethren, He has rather up to this hour continued to deliver you and me who have trusted Him. Then ask yourself, how many times has He delivered me? Out of how many troubles have I been delivered? Ask further, From how many sins have I been delivered? Well then, if the Lord has kept on delivering me so long, I argue that if he had ever meant to stop, he would have stopped long ago, long before. When a man begins to build, we reckon that he will finish the building if he can. We know that our God can complete what he has commenced, so we conclude that he will do so. I feel that he has gone so far with me that he cannot give me up now. This is your confidence. This is my confidence for those who are in Christ. The Lord has not only delivered us so often, but he has also done it in such a wonderful way that he must go on working in a similar fashion. What marvelous wisdom has he sometimes displayed in delivering us from the consequences of our own folly. Often, he seems to lavish his mercy upon us that he might help us in our time of need. And not once has he failed us. There is not one broken promise of his, nor one covenant blessing that God has ever withheld from us. If any of you Christian believers, if any of you who have known him the longest, have anything at all to say against your God? Do you have anything at all to say against your God? Say it. But you have not. You have never had any reason for doubting the Lord Jesus, nor have you ever had any suspicion of his faithfulness raised in your mind by anything that he has done which might lead you to mistrust him in the future. And thirdly, the best argument of all comes from God himself, in whom we trust. He is always the rock of our salvation, and everything is ever present to his unchanging mind. What was the nature of God when he first determined to deliver me? Was it love? Then it is love now. What was the motive which drived or impelled the Son of God when he came from above and snatched me from the deep waters? It was love. Surprising love. And it is surprising love which still moves him to deliver me. Did I sing about God's faithfulness the other day? That faithfulness is just the same today. Have I adored his wisdom? That wisdom is not exhausted, brethren. There is not only the same nature in God, but there is also the same unchanging purpose of God. You and I, we shift and change, and we are obliged to do so because we make rash promises and faulty plans. But God, who is infinitely wise, always keeps to his purpose. Now, if this was his original purpose to save us, and it must have been, or he would never have delivered us as he has done, that purpose still stands and shall forever stand. Though heaven and earth shall pass away, yet the decree of the immutable Jehovah shall never be changed. For the Lord of hosts have purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Isaiah 14 verse 27. Brethren in the Lord, between here and heaven, every minute that the Christian lives, will be a minute of grace. From here to the throne of the highest, you will have to be continually supplied with new grace from the Lord who sits on his heavenly throne. So I reckon that we may go onward with great confidence. For although every day will bring dangers, every day will also witness divine deliverances. Finally, I draw from the text that our whole life should be filled with praise of God, our deliverer. How does the verse go? Read it again. He delivered us, and now we deliver ourselves? No. He delivered us. He does deliver us, or he does deliver us. But what about the future, you may ask? We must deliver ourselves? No. He had delivered, he does deliver, and he will yet deliver. The same Christ Jesus working in the beginning, in the center, and at the close. It is all of God from first to last. There is not one deliverance which you have ever had, which you can ascribe to anyone but the Lord alone inside heaven's gate. All the praise is to be given to the Triune Jehovah. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. And outside heaven's gate, let us sing the same song to the same tune. Let it be always, brethren, to the praise of grace, to the God of grace, to the Father of grace, to the Christ of grace, to the Holy Spirit and his grace, and to God be all the glory forever and ever. Brethren, I trust that this short, brief meditation will bring to you much comfort. Remember the three tenses. Who delivered us from so great death, and thou deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Let us pray. Our gracious, mighty God, eternal Heavenly Father, indeed we thank thee for so great a deliverance from so great a death. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, for preserving our lives and for preserving our going out and coming in. And above all, thank thee for saving our souls and delivering us from eternal damnation, to be separated from God, our Creator. We give thanks to thee, Heavenly Father, yet again, for what the Lord Jesus had done for us on Calvary's cross. And so, Father, we pray for thy help. We pray, Lord, that thou will indeed grant us much grace, strength, the help of the Holy Spirit in this new week, O Lord, that we may walk close to thee, that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. O Father in heaven, we pray for your Spirit to strengthen our feeble hands, and that, Lord, you may empower us by thy Holy Spirit, that in this new week, O Lord, that we may live our lives that glorify thy holy name, that honor thee, and that, Lord, those who are outside of the kingdom around us may see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in our testimony, and glorify our Father in heaven. Father, we pray for thy help. We pray, O Lord, that thou will grant us much strength and grace in this new week. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.